We're going to see the theme of chaos in our psalm this morning. Pretty clearly here in Psalm 46. It's kind of the background and some imagery of just like some really chaotic stuff. And so if you are able, I'm going to invite you to, we're going to do what Alan did last week. I'm going to invite you to stand again. I know you guys are probably tired of standing up and down. But if you're able, I'm going to invite you to stand in the honor of the reading of God's word. I'm going to read Psalm 46 in its entirety. So hear the word of the Lord, beginning in verse 1. Psalmist writes, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Let me pray for us this morning, and then we'll be seated and continue. Father, we come to you. And Lord, I don't know how we come in here this morning. Lord, we come from just different lives and different backgrounds and different stories. And some of us come here, we're excited to be here. And Lord, some of us, I know we come here and we had to drag ourselves to get here this morning. We come in here, some of us just, man, lighthearted and energetic. And then some of us come in here, Lord, carrying burdens, whether that's issues going on from this last week or things we're about to walk into in the week ahead. And Lord, I personally may not know any of those things in the hearts of your people that are here, but you do. And so, Lord, I pray that you, by your Spirit, would bring, Lord, your word to bear on us. However we walked in here, you know what we need to hear. Lord, you know how we ought to respond to your word this morning. So would you help us even with that? Lord, I ask that you would make your presence known here this morning. Lord, just in a powerful way. So, Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. So if we did a quick recap of the news stories up to kind of where we are so far this year. First of all, 80s kids, it's been a rough few weeks for you, right? Anybody willing to say I grew up in the 80s? Nobody want? Okay, a few of us. So, like, it's been a tough week with some of the people you know from the 80s. But beyond that, like if you were to do a recap of some of the news stories, both globally and just like even locally, you'd see things like there's been natural disasters, right? Stuff down in Texas with the flooding and all the tragedy with that. More close to home, there was the tornadoes that kind of ripped through the south central, southeastern part of the state a couple months ago. It feels like even, so apart from natural disasters, just like weird stuff, feels like there's a new plane crash or near miss like every other week, okay? I flew more this last year than I have the rest of my life combined, and I'm kind of glad I'm done for a while, you know? So that's all over the news. Then you got like the political stuff. You've got Israel and Iran going back and forth, and for a while there, we were like, are we on the verge of World War III? Like, what is happening? It just seems like whether you're scrolling through social media or you are reading, does anybody read the newspaper anymore? Like, I say that, like, there's like collectively 7 newspaper subscriptions in the entire county, I think. However you get your news, that's what I'm getting at. If you, like, read the headlines, it feels like chaos. It's like, what is happening in our world? What is happening here locally, right? And then maybe it's not even like the headlines you read, it's or the news you see, it's like just your life feels chaotic. Okay, it could be any number of things. Maybe things are just chaos in your home. Okay, whether it's my marriage is a wreck right now, things are hard between me and my spouse. Maybe it's you've got like kids, whether they're kids in your home or kids that are out of your home, and there's just tension there, and you're just like, man, this parenting thing, like, just feels like things are spinning out of control, right? Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's just like personal stuff that feels like chaos. Could be, man, we're in a financial situation that we can't really figure out how we're going to get our way out of it. It could be, man, my job or my career is sort of like, I don't really know what the future holds here. It could be just your schedule. Like, we're about to go back into the fall semester and kids and sports, and we get like, we just came out of that ourselves, and it's just like, good grief, like, can we slow down for a bit? It could be any number of things, right? Maybe you're just an anxious person by nature, and it's like you read the headlines and you see the news stories, and you just kind of like, it does something in your soul. We just start to feel a little like life is spinning out of control, okay? Right? Whatever it is, regardless, like, every one of us in this room either has walked through a season of life or will walk through a season of life that feels like things are just spinning and spiraling and there's chaos and like somebody's got to right the ship, okay? And what Psalm 46 does, what we're going to look at this morning, is it really serves to give us, and when I say us, I'm talking specifically about the people of God. So if you hear me say us and we this morning, like Psalm 46 written to the people of God, what Psalm 46 does is it serves to give us some grounding, right? It's going to show us why, like, even when things feel like they're spinning out of control, even when it feels like everything's falling apart, even when it feels like we're spiraling, we actually have every reason to remain confident, even in the chaos. Okay, so we're going to walk through it pretty much just kind of verse by verse, starting in verse 1. The psalmist writes, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So like, this is the answer right up front, right? How are we confident in chaos? Right, how do we remain sort of grounded when it feels like everything's spinning out of control? And it like, this is the answer. The foundation is that God is our refuge. Right? God is a place of safety, a place of security. He is sure. He is not shaken. Right? He is our refuge. Our peace is a word we're going to talk a lot about this morning. Okay, but he also says God is our strength. Right, our confidence, when it feels like everything's spinning out of control, our confidence is not in our ability to sort of grab everything and tie up all the loose ends and fix everything. Right? Our confidence is not in our ability, our power, our wisdom, our knowledge. Our confidence in the chaos is in God and his strength, right? His ability, his power. Not anything that we bring to the table, but what he brings to the table. Right? And then it says that God is a very present help, right, in our trouble. Like, God is not distant. Even though sometimes the chaos makes it feel like God is distant, like God is just like unaware or just aloof of what's going on in our lives. Remember, one of the things the Psalms do is they highlight the things that we feel. It's not wrong to feel things, but they reorient us to what's actually true, because we don't want to be driven by just what we feel, right? We don't want to be moved and motivated by just what feels, what things feel like in a certain moment. And what the Psalms do is they take these feelings. Yeah, it may feel like everything's chaotic. It may feel like your life's spiraling out of control. But God is a very present help. He is present, even though it may seem like he's not. He's in control, even though it may seem like he's not, right? He's not unaware of what's going on in the world, not unaware of what's going on in our lives. So look at verse 2, okay? Because those things are true, the psalmist goes on, he says, therefore, like, because God is our refuge, because God is our strength, because God is a very present help, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Okay, and the imagery here, what the psalmist is doing, he's using this imagery of, again, like these things that seem like they're sure, right? Mountains and the earth, like it seems like it's sure, it's fixed, it's firm. And the imagery here is all of that sort of unraveling, right? The mountains are falling into the sea, the earth is giving way, right? The waters, instead of being still and calm, are raging and roaring. It's this symbol of symbolic imagery of when it feels like everything is falling apart. Okay, and the psalmist's point is, when it feels like everything around us is crumbling, okay, or maybe it's not just that it feels like it's crumbling, maybe like it really is crumbling, right? Maybe like your marriage really is crumbling. Maybe your career really is crumbling. Maybe like your relationships really are crumbling. Even when those things are actually happening, we still have every reason as the people of God to remain confident because of what he just said, right? God is our safety. He is our security. He is our peace, right? He is really present with us in these things, whether they're just what we feel or whether they're what we're really experiencing at any given moment. And he kind of elaborates on this idea of God's presence in the next few verses. If you look at verse 4, we'll pick it up there. Psalmist goes on, he says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. And God will help her when morning dawns. Now, if you kind of put like the first three verses here, and then you get verses 4 and 5 here, it feels like verses 4 and 5 are just way out of place. Right? Because verses 1, 2, and 3, you've got, again, everything's like coming unraveled, the earth is falling apart, the mountains are crumbling, like everything's coming undone. And then in verse 4, it kind of, it's like, I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but like verse 4 kind of feels like a Bob Ross painting, right? You've got this image of like a happy little stream just flowing through the city of God, right? You got a morning sunrise in the background. Like, what is happening? Like, what's the contrast? How do we go from everything's falling apart to peaceful stream? Okay, and this is where we have to remember again, the Psalms use poetic language to reveal deeper truths to us. And the thing that the psalmist is cluing us into here with this sort of like drastic change in language is that God is present with us. Okay, and so the image here is one of a river or a stream. And throughout the Bible, that picture, an image of a river or a stream, throughout the Bible, like from Genesis to Revelation, I don't want to say always, because that's probably overstating it, but it is very frequently associated with God's presence among his people. You go back in Genesis, you've got the rivers that are there where God creates the Garden of Eden, okay, where God walked among his people. God was present with his people. You fast forward and you get to the book of Ezekiel, and there's this sort of prophetic imagery of a river flowing out of the temple. And the temple was where God dwelled among his people. Okay, you jump to the end of the Bible, you get Revelation, which is Revelation 22, and there's the picture of this stream that's sort of flowing out from the throne of God. And what's consistent in all these images or that streams and rivers are associated with God's presence among his people. Okay, and not only does he talk about the river and the streams here, he references the city of God. That's where this stream is running through, right? The city of God, almost certainly a reference to Jerusalem, which you know, biblically, Jerusalem is kind of where God dwelled among his people. First, it was in the tabernacle. Then it was in the temple, once that was built and constructed by Solomon. But it was a place where God dwelled among the people of Israel, his people. And so you've got all this language here that's just reminding us that God is present among his people, even in the chaos, right? Even when the mountains are crumbling into the sea, even when things are spinning out of control, God is present. If there's any doubt, right, he says it explicitly, right, that that this place is the holy habitation or dwelling place of the Most High. It says that God is in the midst of her. God is present, right? God is present. And the reason that's such a big deal is because where God is present, there is peace, right? Where God is present, there is peace, okay? And in fact, like when God shows up, he brings peace with him, okay? This is what, you look at verse 6, right? The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. You got more of this language of things that are just like out of control. But then the second line, he utters his voice and the earth melts. So by way of illustration, back in, I stole this from camp this week. This is great. Back in the late 1900s, it sounds way cooler than being like, I'm a kid of the 90s. You'd be like, I'm a kid of the late 1900s. Back in the late 1900s, I remember we were on our way to Atlanta with my parents, riding mom's Ford Explorer on our way to a NASCAR race because we're good rednecks like that. And I remember on our way there, we had not made it much past the Tennessee state line when my dad just pulled the Explorer over on the side of the road and threw it in park, right? And he does that thing. I don't remember the details of what was happening, but I'm assuming there was some chaos happening in the back seat with me and my brother. Because I remember him just pulling that thing over, throwing it in park, turning around and saying, boys, I will turn this car around and we will go right back home. Anybody ever had that before? Anybody ever had it where you get pulled over and you get drug out of the car and you just, right? Yeah. But that's all he had to say. Right? My dad had this ability that, if I can be honest, like I have not inherited and I'm a little bit bitter about it. He could just say, boys. And it was like, we were, whoop. Right? And listen, this was crazy. Like, I don't remember my dad ever like spanking us, or it's not like he threatened us with violence. And so we were like, okay, we'll chill out now. Right? But he had this ability to just speak. And where there was chaos and fighting, it just was like peace and silence. Right? I do that with my kids and they're like, it's pretty cute, Dad. And they're just right back at it, right? But this is kind of like an image of what's happening here, right? There's the nations are raging, the kingdoms are teetering and tottering on edge, right? There's chaos, there's fighting, and then God speaks, and there's peace, right? Like just by the power of his word, God shows up and he speaks, and there's calm. And that's because in God's presence, there is perfect peace. The Hebrew word, you can impress your friends with this tomorrow at work. The Hebrew word is shalom, okay? If I can connect these two illustrations, I remember if you're an old NASCAR fan, there used to be a guy that would pray like every NASCAR race, and he would end every prayer with like shalom and amen. And I never knew what shalom meant, okay? I have since learned after a couple of seminary degrees, right? Shalom is this idea of like perfect peace. That's a Hebrew word for peace. But it's not just like it's not just like the absence of conflict peace. Like shalom peace is like everything wrong made right. Like it's holistic, it's whole, it's harmony, perfect well-being. It's basically like a picture of Eden. Everything is the way it was supposed to be. That's what shalom, this idea of shalom is. And that's what's found in the presence of God, right? That peace, shalom, where everything is made right, where there is no more chaos because there's no more conflict, but because there's no more sin, because like in his presence, there is perfect peace, right? Peace and harmony, or peace and hominy, if you want to know, okay. Also not in my notes, which is why I should stick to my notes. But in God's presence is perfect peace, which is what makes verse 7 like such good news. Right? The Lord of hosts is, you can do it, with us. Right? He's with us. So in God's presence is perfect peace, and he's with us. He's with his people. Okay? He's with his people. The phrase, Lord of hosts, is a phrase that basically means the Lord of armies, right? Hosts was basically a word for these large armies. And so he's saying the God of armies. And I don't know, you know what armies do? Yes, they wage war, but the whole goal is peace, right? Go to war for peace. And what he's saying is the God of armies, the God of peace is with us, right? He's with us. So, even though Psalm 46 was written thousands of years ago, okay, and it's yes, in its context, it's God speaking to, or the psalmist on behalf of God speaking to the people of Israel, the reality is God still dwells among his people, okay? And it's not in the tabernacle, it's not in the temple. You don't have to go to a specific place to experience God's presence. Right? The reality is that for God's people, for those who have trusted in Jesus, when I say God's people on this side of the resurrection, that's those who have trusted in Jesus. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus, the Bible says that you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Like the third person of the Trinity takes up residence in you, which means that the God of peace dwells within you as his people. Okay? The God of peace dwells, like you are his holy habitation. Right? God is not somewhere like out there that you have to like go track him down and find him if you want to experience peace. Like he's dwelling within you in the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Like he is a very present help, right? Which means for those who have trusted in Jesus, who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, like peace really is available to you. Even in the chaos, right? And the chaos doesn't have to stop. It doesn't have to change because God is present with you. Like you really can experience peace smack dab in the middle of it, right? It's like the eye of a hurricane, right? There's chaos all around, but I mean, you've been indwelt by the Spirit of God and there's just that center. I don't know what you call it. I'm not a meteorologist, but you got the eye of the hurricane where there's peace and there's calm. Right, the people of God, like we have access to that because the presence of God dwells within us. Like we really can experience what we talked about in our series in Philippians back in the spring. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Right? Like we can really experience that. And again, sometimes we hear that and we're like, I don't understand. How am I supposed to experience? I can't explain it to you. That's why the Bible said it surpasses all understanding. But when you experience it, you know it. You know it. Experience peace even in the chaos. Okay, and maybe you would say, okay, got it, makes sense. I'm a Christian. I believe I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But if I'm honest, man, I don't feel a lick of peace in my life right now. Okay, and I won't pretend to know why that is. Okay, maybe if we sat down and had a conversation, we could. But one thing I do know is that one of the reasons that we don't experience the peace that we could experience, one of the reasons, not the reason, but one of the reasons, one of the more common reasons, I should say, is because we oftentimes look for peace in places other than where we're really supposed to find it. Okay? Like we think, man, if I could just like make more money, if I could just get my bank account to this level, if I could like have this much money set aside in my 401k, if I could just, whatever that is, like if I could just have enough, then I don't have to worry about the future, then I don't have to worry about whatever's coming, then I can experience some peace. Okay, or we think, if my family, if I could just get things figured out at home, if I could just get my marriage to where it was smoothed out, get the wrinkles out, if I could just have like the picture perfect children that are perfectly obedient, if you figure that out, let me know how, okay? But if I could just get that, then there would be peace, right? Then I could experience a little bit of calm, okay? And when we try to find peace in those kind of relationships, what we do is we heap burdens on our spouses and our children that like they were not meant to carry, right? We're expecting things from them that they weren't meant to give us, right? We look for peace in kind of the opposite. Or maybe it's not in people. Maybe it's, okay, I can't be around people. They stress me out. They make me nervous. So I'm just going to withdraw and retreat. Right? I'm not going to have any close relationships. I'm not going to live in community with anyone. If I don't get too close to anybody, they can't disappoint me. They can't let me down. They can't make my life chaotic. And so we end up retreating from these relationships that God has designed us to exist in. Right? You're not designed to go through life alone. Right? You're not designed to do the Christian life alone. Okay. Sometimes we look for peace by just trying to numb ourselves to like what's going on around us. And we'll do that sometimes it's something that feels harmless. Like we'll just binge watch a bunch of Netflix so I don't have to deal with the chaos in my life right now. Okay, some of you guys caught astray on that one, didn't you? That wasn't very fair. Right, but sometimes it's more serious. Sometimes it's the reason you have one too many drinks is because you're just trying to find some peace in substances. Right, the reason people get addicted to drugs oftentimes is because their life's spiraling out of control. I need something that can numb me to this chaos, and we're looking for peace in things that cannot provide the kind of peace that our souls need. Right? Sometimes we, let's be honest, the world we live in today, we think like politicians and political parties are going to be the answer so that we experience peace. And I just want to be like, how's that working? Right? Right? We trust in a person or a party to bring some sort of peace and give us some sort of confidence in the midst of the chaos. When we do that, we just enter a cycle so that the next election cycle, we're just stressed out all over again. Right? That's why every election is like, this is the most important election in the history of the world. You're going to say that again in 4 more years. So, right, we just look for peace and we try to put confidence in things that were never meant to be sources of peace, never meant to be the things that make us confident. Okay, and when we put when we put confidence in those things, we seek peace in those places or in those people, all we're doing is just contributing to the chaos we're trying to get out of. Like, it's just a vicious cycle. It's a vicious cycle. What we need is really just a greater like awareness of God's presence with us and a greater dependence on his presence with us. Okay, but we also need a greater belief, understanding and belief of God's power. Right? And that's what we see in the next couple verses. Look at verse 8. Psalmist says, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. So many scholars, not a sure thing, but many scholars believe that this psalm was kind of written, or that the background of this psalm is an episode that takes place in 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. The Assyrians are making threats against the people of God. Okay, and so they send a letter to King Hezekiah. And they basically say, like, hey, we're on our way, you're in trouble, right? I mean, it's the Assyrians. They were some bad dudes. And so Hezekiah, he gets this letter about how the Assyrians are coming. And so he says that he goes into the temple and he lays this letter out. I don't know if it's a scroll or what, I imagine. He says he lays it out before the Lord. And he basically prays and says, God, you've got to save us, right? The Assyrians are on their way. They are far more powerful than we are, right? But they're not more powerful than you are. And so we need you, we're begging you, we're pleading with you to work on our behalf. And not only on our behalf, we want you to work so powerfully that the world will know that the God of Israel is the only true God, okay? And then what happens is the Assyrians, they kind of approach the people of Israel, and they're camped out, and it says one night an angel of the Lord goes out and strikes down 185,000 of the Assyrian troops. Okay, 185,000 people just like that. And then the text goes on to say that the next morning the people, they wake up and they look and see what's happened, and they're like, that letter we sent you, go ahead and disregard that. We're going to go on back where we came from, right? Because when you wake up and there's 185,000 people dead and you didn't know about it, you're kind of like, maybe there's something at work here that we're not fully aware of, right? And the point is, like, it's the Lord who protected and defended his people by his power. Right? The people of Israel never even fought. Right? It wasn't like Hezekiah was like, hey, strengthen us. And then God gave them supernatural fighting abilities. And they went out and slayed all these Assyrians. No, like, they're asleep in bed. And God strikes down his enemies, their enemies. Right? And he doesn't do it by forming alliances. There's no negotiating a peace treaty. Right? There's no ceasefires. It's just God speaks. And by the power of his word, he makes wars to cease. Right? Wars didn't even get to become wars because God intervened. Right? He's a God of power. Right? And then that's why the psalmist says this in verse 10. He says, be still and know that I am God. Right? We hear that verse, and maybe you've seen it, usually probably on like a coffee cup or like on a piece of Hobby Lobby decor, right? And when we think of that, like pull it out of context, it's like, be still and know that I am the Lord. Okay, I need to sit quietly with my coffee cup with the same verse on it and just think about God. And that's not a bad thing to do. Like, we would do well to think more about God than we do. But in context, the point of that verse here is not to just sit in silence and meditate while you kind of look out over your backyard in the morning. Right? The point of that verse in context, it's a command. It's actually the only command in Psalm 46, the only imperative, the only time God says, hey, do this. It's right here. Be still and know that I am God. And in context, it's God saying, stop fighting, stop panicking, stop worrying, stop fretting. Like, stop worrying about this chaos that's going on around you and consider, I am God. I am all powerful. I am triumphant. I am victorious. And not only am I, like, not only am I victorious, not only am I triumphant, not only will I be exalted among the nations, is what he says. But the refrain repeats again in verse 11. Yes, I'm all powerful. Yes, I'm in control. Yes, I'm triumphant. And as a reminder, the Lord of hosts is with us. I'm with you. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I will protect you. I will defend you. When it feels like the mountains are crumbling and sliding off into the sea, I am all powerful and I am with you and I am for you. That's what he says. Right, this God, right, the one who brings peace with his presence, the one who speaks and sends his enemies fleeing, the one who will be exalted, his name will be exalted over all the earth. He is with us and he is for us. And so as we close this morning, I want to draw your attention. There's one word. I mentioned it when we read through it, but I didn't reference it here. But it repeats in the book of Psalms. It's this word, Selah, Selah. There's some differences, different opinions on how you pronounce it. But either way, it appears three times here in Psalm 46. And really it appears throughout the book of Psalms. It's pretty common to read through Psalms and see this word, Selah or Selah. And it's believed to be a musical term. Okay, remember the Psalms are kind of like the playlist for God's people. But the word, what it means is to stop, to slow down, to consider, to process, whatever word you want to use. It's basically, hey, don't speed past this. Like, stop and consider what's actually being said here. Okay? And so as we move into a time of response, like, that's really what we're doing. I want us to stop. Like, it's easy to be like, all right, the preacher got through the last verse. Where are we going for lunch? Right? I mean, I know. Like, I know that's what happens. Sometimes, maybe all the time, I don't know. But I think what the Word of God calls us to do is to stop and consider what's just been said, right? To think about it, not to speed past it and to get on with our day and all the things we got to do because school starts back here soon and we've got to do it. It's stop, slow down, consider what the Word of the Lord says. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. Okay, and just by way to kind of maybe nudge you a little bit, here's what I would say. One, just want to remind you that Psalm 46, it's a comfort to God's people. Okay, but maybe you're here this morning, you're thinking about, okay, what does this mean for me? I stop and consider. Maybe for you, like you're here, and like you know about God, right? Maybe you even believe in God, but you've never been restored into a right relationship with God through faith in Christ. And if you haven't done that, the Bible would say you're actually not one of God's people. Because for those of us on this side of the resurrection, like to be one of God's people, to be adopted into God's family, it only comes through faith and trust in Jesus. Okay, and until you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you will never experience the kind of peace that's available to you. Because remember, that comes through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so maybe for you this morning, as you consider, you know, you say lie, you're like, what does this mean for me? Maybe your step this morning is to put your faith and trust in Jesus for the first time. To move from being God's enemy. I know you don't think of yourself as God's enemy, but the testimony of scriptures would be like, if you're not a child of God, you're an enemy of God. And based on what we just read, I don't know that we want to be enemies of God. And so I would just plead with you, if you're here this morning, you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, like that's the response that the God's word has for you this morning, okay? But maybe you're here and you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus. You are indwelt by the presence and power of the Spirit. But the reason that you don't feel and experience the kind of peace in the midst of chaos that really is available to you is because of what we said earlier. Maybe you're just looking for peace, kind of quote an old country song, like looking for peace in all the wrong places, you know? Like maybe you're expecting your career, your family, your bank account, a political party. Like you're expecting something to be your source of peace. You're expecting someone to be this thing that you're confident in, and it just keeps letting you down. And I'm just going to tell you, like anything apart from the presence of God, like his work in your life, like it will let you down. Right? But God is peace, and his presence is peace. And so if you're here this morning and you would say, man, I think I am searching for peace and confidence in all the wrong places. And I would just say, man, that the response for you this morning is to repent. Listen, repent's not a dirty word. We hear the word repent and we're like, oh, I don't want to tell anybody about it. All of the Christian life is repentance. Right? If you're living the Christian life well, you will be repenting a lot. Okay? And nothing to be embarrassed about. So maybe this morning you just need to repent. That word just means turn. You need to turn from putting your trust in people and places and things that were never meant to give you the peace that you're looking for. Right? And to turn to the Lord. Okay? Or maybe you're here this morning and you just need to be still and know that he is God. And again, not just sit here quietly and be like, oh, he is God. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but maybe you need to just realize like, he is like with you and he's victorious. He's triumphant, right? He is to be exalted, but he is a God of all power and might and strength, and he is with you and he is for you. And your response to that this morning, maybe you just need to praise and worship him for all that he is and has been and has done in your life. That would be a good and right response. Our song here in just a minute, we're going to sing, Great Are You, Lord. Maybe like that just needs to be your prayer to him this morning. Like, Lord, you are great. You are mighty. Right? Or maybe for you to be still and to know that he is God, maybe you need to do what King Hezekiah did, and you just need to bring these areas of your life that feel like they're chaotic and spinning out of control and you don't have any control over. Maybe you need to bring those things before the Lord and just lay them out and say, God, I can't fix this. I can't do anything about this, but I need you to act. I need you to intervene. I need you to help me. Right? And then believe and trust that he will. Believe and trust that he will. So Here's what I invite. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to pray together. And as we move into a time of response, yes, we're going to sing. And that is one way we respond. But there are, right, maybe the Lord's prompting you, and you need to come to the altar and, again, lay something in your life before him and say, God, I need you to work here. Maybe you need to talk with someone, right? We would love to pray with you. There'll be some folks around the room with lanyards that would love to pray with you, talk with you, help you any way that we can. But I'm gonna pray for us. The band's going to come, and then we're going to respond singing. All right, let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and we are grateful for this promise that we have from your word, that you've just repeated over and over here in Psalm 46, that you are with us, that you are our fortress, is what you say, that you are for your people. You are our protection. You are our security. You are our peace. Lord, we have access to your power, your provision, or you are everything that we need and more. And so, Father, I pray that in this moment right now that we would, as the psalmist encourages us to do three separate times, we would stop and consider. How do we respond to your word this morning? Maybe there's some here that need to put their faith and trust in you and receive the gift of your spirit, the spirit of peace. But maybe there's some this morning that have been looking for peace and trying to place their confidence in other things. And they need to repent of that this morning and seek you first and seek your presence first and seek your power first and to let go of these things that they're clinging to, hoping will provide them with something that only you can provide. Or maybe, Lord, there's some here, really this is probably all of us here, we just need to be still and to know that you are God, that you are all-powerful, that you are sovereign, that you're in control, that you are mighty, that you are victorious and triumphant, that you will be exalted among the nations. And not only will you be exalted among the nations, not only are you above everything, but you are with us and you are for us. And we need to be reminded of that this morning. So, Lord, would you speak to us as you wish by your Spirit? Would you move us to respond as you would have us to respond? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.